Freedom's often been defined as the absence of constraints, so that in some way, you know, as people, we're completely free to do whatever we want to do. But Martin Luther, the great reformist, and many other Bible scholars as well, following on from him, have defined freedom quite differently. Martin Luther defined freedom like this: freedom is not the ability of people to do what they want, but rather the power to do what they ought. And I thought that was a phenomenal, very brief description of Christian freedom. So Christian freedom is not so much the freedom just to do whatever we want, but it's the power for us to be the people that God has designed us to be, and to be free to be exactly and to do exactly what God wants us to do. And as I said, the book of Galatians, I've been studying through, and the book of Galatians has very often been defined or described as the Christian's declaration of freedom. In it, Paul writes to the churches in Galatia. He's been a missionary to the area there, and he's set up and established some churches, and he's come away from there, and he's realized that some of them are they're deserting the message that he presented to them when he went there. And so he writes this letter to try and remind them and bring them back to that gospel message. And Paul wants to defend the gospel message in this letter. And I want to read just a portion of it this morning from chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. But I would really encourage you, if you could find the time, you know, carve out some time in your own personal time to read through this letter again. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian for or how new you are. I think that this word of God in Galatians, it brings so much freedom as we just allow God to speak to us again through it. So find some time, find a good commentary maybe even, and go through the book of Galatians in your own time. But let's just look at chapter 1, verses 1 to 10 this morning. Paul, an apostle sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me. To the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than that which you've accepted, let him be eternally condemned. And now, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. So I want to quickly zoom into verse 7 there. Verse 7 uses this interesting phrase, throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel message. That phrase there itself is translated quite differently in a number of other different translations. So for example, in the New Living Translation, it's described as fooled. And in the Contemporary English Version, it uses the phrase causing you trouble. And then the Message phrases it provoking agitation. And the New American Standard describes it as disturbing you. And so this word that's used for confused or troubled is actually a word that we see elsewhere in the Bible, and it's usually described to describe that deep feeling of anguish or that deep feeling of trouble. And I guess for me that seems to be the kind of prevailing mood of our society today. I mean, for most of us, unless you've been hiding away somewhere, you're going to notice that people today are troubled. I have the privilege and the challenge, I suppose, at work of being in people management. And my job recently has just become all about hearing people's gripes and moans and seeing their troubles. And it's difficult at times to find any good news in amongst all of that negativity. And and I think that one of the reasons why, certainly in the workplace, that there is this troubled mood is because there's such an absence of good news. And in a troubled society, I think it's so difficult to hear the good news, and it's so difficult to preach a message of good news. But here in the book of Galatians, we see that Paul wants to defend this good news, and he's absolutely shocked that the church in Galatia, the churches in Galatia, have deserted this gospel message that he presented to them. This is the message that they had heard when Paul brought it to them. It had transformed their lives. It had totally freed them from the law that they were under as Jewish believers. They were freed from it by the work that Jesus Christ did for them. And Paul is utterly shocked that they've moved away from that. And I guess, we are all part of the world, and it's difficult to avoid or not to notice the trouble and the confusion that we're under every day ourselves. And so for some of us maybe here this morning, we've got this sense of trouble hanging over us, this burden that was weighing us down. And I want to just pause for a moment here and just pray before we get into the text a little bit more. I want to just pray that God would really open up our hearts, that he would transform us through his word this morning, and that he would really give you a fresh sense of the liberty and the freedom that we have in Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you're a God that wills and desires to free each of us. And you desire that so much that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die for us, that we would be rescued and freed from this present evil age. Lord, we pray that as we come and we gather here this morning as people that long to kneel before your feet and hear your words being preached, hear your words being taught to us, Lord, we just pray that each of us would have hearts that receive what you want to say to us, God. And I pray for a fresh revelation of freedom and an understanding of the freedom that we have in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've looked at this short passage in Galatians, and Paul, as I said, is defending the good news. And just in case the Galatians that he was writing, the churches in Galatia that he was writing to, in case they'd forgotten what this good news message was, Paul summarizes it very beautifully in verses 3-5 of the passage that we've read. It says this: grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace is always present wherever the gospel message is preached, or wherever the gospel message is lived out. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. That phrase, gave himself, the substitutionary language of the cross is wrapped up in that phrase, gave himself for us. And he gave himself for us that we might be free and rescued from this present evil age. We mentioned earlier about the trouble that we kind of sense in today's day and age. And that's the kind of mood and that God has come through Jesus to free us from. And it says that according to the will of God our Father. Paul, in all of his writings, actually is very adamant that the work of salvation and our freedom that we gain from that work of salvation is purely a work of Jesus Christ alone. And that there is nothing in there that we participate in, or nothing in there that we can bring to that equation, nothing we can add to our own salvation. And so Paul says that it is Jesus Christ who gave himself for us, and he's done it because he did it in obedience to the will of God the Father. It is God that wills for each and every one of us here this morning to be free. And so that's why he sent his son Jesus Christ. There's absolutely nothing in there that suggests that we have a part to play in that. Paul is absolutely adamant, and even to the letter in the Galatians, he's adamant that the work of salvation is the free gift of God. And so this here, it's obviously done so that God is glorified forever and ever. So this is the gospel message that Paul is telling the Galatians, that you're abandoning this. This is the message that I brought to you when I came to you, and it transformed your life, and it gave you freedom. And yet somehow you're running away from that. You're going towards an altogether different message. I suppose the subtlety here is that Paul says it may look like the gospel, but it isn't really. What you're now clinging to is something different. And even for us today, sometimes the messages that we cling to, the things that we believe, they maybe very closely look like the gospel message, but there's maybe some subtle differences in there. And Paul wants to point out to them. And so in the chapters that follow this, in chapters 2-4, Paul describes the kind of perversion and the way in which the Galatian churches are perverting the gospel. But he's so shocked that they're actually moving away from this gospel message that he kind of forgets all of his usual style of letter writing. And when Paul usually writes a letter, as we read his other letters, we see that he normally writes about how much he's longing to be with the people that he's writing to, or how much he's praying for them, or how much he misses them. But there's absolutely none of this in this letter, because Paul doesn't want to waste any time. He wants to get straight into the point and to defend the gospel message and to say, guys, look what why are you turning away from the message that I brought to you, the message that brought you freedom right from the start? Why are you turning away from it? He's gobsmacked that they would even consider doing that. But what he wants to tell them is that now that they're turning towards a different message altogether, a message that actually isn't good news, it's bad news, and it's putting them under bondage. It's causing them confusion, and it's just causing trouble for the people in there. And so Paul, I put it into an equation, and I'll give you time just to look at that equation. I'll try and talk you through it. I thought it was a helpful way of looking at this. If we read through chapters 2 to 4, you obviously see the way in which the Jewish Christians were trying to pervert the gospel message. What they were trying to do was they were trying to add something to it. So Jesus plus something else equals salvation. They weren't happy enough with just the Jesus equals salvation piece, but they were trying to add something else to it. And that something that they were trying to add was effort or works. And so they were telling, the Jewish Christians were telling the people in Galatia that really they are only free and they're only made right with God when they follow a set of rules. And those rules were the Jewish customs of the day, the Jewish traditions that were handed down to them. And so they were wanting people to observe all the Jewish laws and customs and rituals. And they were insisting that people were circumcised and that they would follow the dietary requirements of the Jewish religion. And they were placing a lot of burden on the Christians of the day by asking them, you know, to set a standard and to try and follow that standard. And I guess there is an element that sometimes maybe as Christians today, we also follow this equation. We also want to add something to the gospel message. We also want to add something to our salvation. We're kind of not happy unless we're putting in the effort to try and make ourselves right with God. And so we often, you know, maybe beat ourselves up if we don't come to church or we don't read our Bible. And really at the heart of all that is just a belief that somehow we've got to work our way towards God's salvation. We can't just accept it as the free gift that he wants to give us. And so there is an element, I guess, that today we probably want to pervert the gospel that way as well. However, I think today there's probably a slightly different way in which we pervert the gospel message. And I've put again. I've put it into equations. Sorry for those of you who don't like maths, but I found this a really helpful way of looking at it. So the kind of two ways I think that sometimes we pervert the gospel message today is that, you know, we understand Jesus equals salvation. You know, we talk about it a lot today, and I think, you know, the free gift of God. We get that, but somehow we feel that there's got to be something else bolted onto our lives in order to give ourselves a sense of fulfillment or a sense of freedom. And so we're not happy with just Jesus equals salvation. Or maybe it's something like, you know, we put something else as our salvation. We start to rely and depend on other things for our salvation. And yeah, we kind of think it's cool to have Jesus tagged on the side there. You know, we come to church. It's great to come here and to have, you know, people to socialize with and to feel all, you know, part of something. And so it's great to bolt Jesus onto it. But realistically, we're actually looking to something else for our salvation. And so I guess for me that seems to be two of the ways in which we pervert the gospel message today. And I've, you know, certainly in my own life, you know, been between both of those at times. And sometimes we learn the hard way and we end up, you know, putting something else in the place of Jesus. And we see, as Paul is describing to the Galatians here, that it only ends up putting us in bondage. It only ends up putting us under a pressure and we no longer feel free anymore. And so perhaps maybe, you know, the something in that equation that we try and cling to today or try and chase after today is things like money. You know, for a lot of us, we desperately worry if we don't have enough money or if we're not have enough to buy the latest gadgets. We really get stressed out about things. We want to appear as though we have wealth. Or maybe it's health. You know, for a lot of us, we follow the latest healthy eating, you know, habits, and we're going to the gym and we're following fitness regimes because we're desperately chasing after that health, because somehow we feel that's going to give us freedom. That's going to give us, you know, some sense of fulfillment. Or maybe it's popularity. I think we're ill at ease with ourselves sometimes, unless we have loads of people around us. You know, we want 500 plus friends on Facebook, and we want 1,000 Twitter followers. And as a nation today, we crave attention. You know, we're a nation of vloggers and bloggers, and we're just looking for that attention. We're looking for somebody to notice us. And realistically speaking, when these things become the focus in that equation, they become the something. It just places us under an enormous amount of pressure to be people that we were never designed to be. And the freedom that Christ wants to bring us is a freedom to be the people that God has designed us to be. And the way that what God has designed us to be is people that have enough in Jesus. Jesus is enough. And I don't know, but sometimes the kind of bondage that these, you know, following these equations or perverting the gospel message or looking to something else for salvation, the bondage that can put us under can look like various different things. But for a lot of us, it looks like maybe self-centeredness, where life becomes all about us. And we've got to try and, you know, get what we can out of life and take what we can. And we're giving nothing. Or maybe it's self-gratification. Similarly, you know, we're looking to satisfy ourselves. Maybe we're chasing after money, you know, health and wealth and popularity. Or maybe it's just a feeling of having everything in control and presenting an image of perfection and presenting an image of having this perfect life. Maybe that's the kind of things that we're looking for. And so life is just about gratifying our own selfish needs. Or maybe it's self-loathing. Maybe you don't have anything like, maybe you don't have money, maybe you don't have wealth or popularity, or maybe you even have some poor health at the moment, and so you just hate yourself. For some reason you just think, you know, I'm just terrible. You know, how can God love me? And you just hate yourself for it. Or perhaps it's the opposite extreme of all of that, and you can just replace the word self with the word others. So maybe your life is about others-centeredness or others' gratification, where you're just living your life completely to please everyone else. And that can be a heavy weight to carry. Or maybe you're worried continually about how other people perceive you. And again, that can just be a huge weight for us to carry. Maybe the bondage that we're in is others' loathing. So, you know, we look at everybody else, and everybody else has everything in order. Everything else, they've got a life that's sorted. And so we're so angry and bitter that we just hate everybody. And all it really does is it prevents us from coming and doing community with each other. It prevents us from really embracing one another, because we're just filled with bitterness. We're either looking just to get out of it what we can and not giving in community, or we're just so angry and bitter that we can't give in community. And it puts us under bondage. And I guess if Paul was writing this letter to us here this morning and to Christians today, I guess he would want us to say, guys, have you deserted the gospel message? Have you forgotten that Jesus is enough? Have you forgotten that it is in Jesus that we are free? Have you forgotten that that Jesus provides everything that we need, and that we don't need to continually try and to chase after other things or add anything to these equations here, that Jesus is enough. Jesus is our freedom. And I think the gospel message for me is not so much something that we do. So very often the gospel message is preached as here's the things that you need to be doing. Here's how you need to respond. This is what a Christian life looks like. And we just read the gospel message as something that we do. But actually the gospel message is something that is done to us. Jesus Christ has empowered us. Jesus Christ has freed us freely. We didn't need to add anything into that. He's given it as a complete and utter free gift. And he says, here you go. I want to offer you freedom from everything that you're struggling with, from all that self-centeredness and self-gratification and self-loathing and everything else. God wants to free us completely to be the people that he's designed us to be. I want to read a verse from 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4. It says here, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us the very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Jesus frees us and empowers us to be the people that God wants us to be. He gives us everything we need for life and godliness. We need nothing else. We don't need to add anything else into the equation. Jesus is enough. And so Paul wants to tell us in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. So therefore, stand firm in that freedom. So often we've been designed as people by God to worship God and to love others and to use things in that order. But so often we get that all completely muddled up, and instead of worshiping God and loving others and using things, we end up worshiping things and loving ourselves and using people. And we just get broken. And we just get lost. And we just get totally trapped and in bondage. But Jesus says that he can bring us salvation. He can save us and bring us freedom. Jesus is enough. There is no need to add anything else. Hopefully, that's the lasting thought that we leave here today with, that Jesus is enough. We don't need to add anything else. Amen.